This is the IC Pixels podcast with David and Anthony Cavins. We're going to talk about design in everyday situations. The IC Pixels podcast. This is Anthony.
This is David.
And today we are talking to another illustrious guest. I'll let her introduce herself.
Hi, my name is Sophia Mobley, and I'm the video production specialist at an engineering firm, but I also have a YouTube channel and a blog called Ask a Black Girl.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. And we decided to talk to her today because we noticed that she's doing some, you know, had a new YouTube channel, and we're thinking about just how. I mean, personally, I was impressed by, I don't know, the thought that you put into it. I don't know, because some people, they just start a YouTube channel and they just, you know, they're just in their bathroom somewhere or whatever. And I was like, oh wow, she's got like graphics and everything. I don't know, like. I was like, wow, all right.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, like, what, how did you get started? I mean, you said you're a video production specialist or something. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what they called me.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Is that what you went to school for, or like?
I got a master's in media and communications psychology. But I always had an interest in video and editing. I was mostly self-taught, but then the master's kind of, tied everything that was self-taught together, if that makes any sense. My undergraduate degree has nothing to do with any of this.
Husbandry. Right.
It's like, really, shallow performance.
It was interdisciplinary studies in chemistry, biology, and music. So, yeah, literally nothing to what? Do. Yeah.
So, I mean, you got that, and then you're like, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. And
basically, then, I'm ADD.
Okay. Oh, no, that's understandable. I mean, we're both kind of like that, so.
Yeah, I'm running into a lot of people that their undergrad and what they're doing now are completely... like, no connection at all.
Mm-hmm. No connection at all.
But that's okay.
You asked me a question. I don't remember what it was. How did I get into this?
Yeah. Like, where? How did, I guess, like, from, you know, from one point to, like, what led you to getting into video? And, like, what led you down that path, I guess? And then, you know, what led you to starting your own channel?
Okay, video. I used to kind of tinker with iMovie and stuff. Just people would randomly ask me to put together like a photo collage video to music. And it was a lot of fun for me. And at the time, it was really hard times. I had an old iMac, the one with the round bottom on it. I don't know if you guys remember that computer. It was super slow.
It came in like the different colors, like the green and the blue.
Not that one with the round back. This one was just a round stand. It was just a unibody with the stand was kind of round. I don't know. But it was old and really slow. But I would try to make videos on that. And then my sister got married and was like, you're going to do the video for my wedding. And that was like the first, I guess, bigger project I had. And then it kind of grew from there, just doing different things at church. In the communications department. And then I was like, I really like doing this. I should probably step up from iMovie. And then I moved on to Final Cut. And, things kind of grew from there. And then I decided to go back and get a master's in media and communications psychology, because I just like how media affects how we feel and how we think, and you can pretty much control people with the content you put out. You can make them feel happy or angry or sad or whatever based on the music you use in a video or whether a picture is black and white or not, you know, that kind of thing. So that led me down that path. So I started doing freelance video editing, and then that was hard times. So I was like, I need a steady job. So I wound up here in Kentucky taking this job as video production specialist, where I am in charge of all the video and photography for the company.
Oh.
How that led to the YouTube channel, I am the only black person in my office.
What?
We have 13 offices all over the country, and I am the only black employee.
Oh my goodness.
Are you serious? Wow.
I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding.
Oh my goodness.
We've had several come and go.
They really came up with you. They're checking two boxes, a woman and a black person.
And yes, no, for real. They're like, we need you to stick around, you know. No, they haven't said that, but I pretty much know that's what's going on.
Wow.
Yeah, so but if that, you were just like cripple and maybe a Native American and right? Transvestite or a lesbian, they wouldn't need to hire anyone else.
They really wouldn't.
Oh my goodness.
But that led to me sitting in the office overhearing conversation, and I'm just like, what are you guys talking about? Not only that, people would ask me the most random things, and I can call him my friend now. We're really good friends now, but initially he would say and ask me questions that I was like, this dude is probably the most racist person I've ever met. But he was so sincere in the things he was asking me. I was cool with it. I was just like, let me just calm down and answer these questions for him. And every day was like, his mind was completely blown of just about simple things. Like, he would ask, one of the questions he asked me was like, I remember in high school, all the black guys used to have a whole bottle of Jergens lotion in their book bag. Why? And I'm like, well, look at your skin and look at my skin. We both get what is called ashy, but it's going to show up more on us than you. So, and especially the darker you are, the more you're going to not want to be ashy because it's going to turn white. His mind was just like, what? Oh my gosh, I just thought it was like a fad or something. I'm like, no.
Oh my God. Not.
So, he and I became really, he's one of my closest friends now, and we could talk about whatever when it comes to race. And I just saw the transformation that he went through just from asking me honest questions. And I just know that so many of like my other coworkers and just people in general assume things about black people, and they think they know, they think they got it nailed down, but they really don't know much about us, and it's because we don't really know each other. I was like, you know, he would often say he doesn't have any other black friends. He doesn't know any other black people. So how could they know?
Yeah.
They don't have to watch our shows on TV. We have to watch theirs if we plan on watching TV. So they don't know anything about us. So I was just like, what can I do to get people comfortable talking to black people and get people asking questions? And this is what I came up with.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, I don't know, because it's like, yeah, I mean, because yeah, initial reaction, yeah, you'd be like, wow, this guy is wilding, you know?
Yeah. It was comical, you know, and sometimes I would just be in complete shock, but he was really sincere in the things he would ask, and so I would just answer, and it made him more comfortable asking more questions. And now I have to calm him down, like, you're going to get me fired if you continue...
Oh,
you know,
he keeps getting
over. Yeah, now he's lost friends and family members over Colin Kaepernick. You know, he's gone hard. He's like a Black Panther. I'm like, dude, okay.
He's overcompensating now. Like, all right, chill. Yeah,
because they won't fire you, they'll fire me.
Yeah. You're having a bad influence.
Came around and starting trouble.
Right, exactly. But yeah, that's how this whole thing came about.
Well, I think that's important, like, that, I mean, the communication part of it, I mean, because that, you know, well, you know, we all grew up going to a similar school, and it's like, yeah, you could easily not know anybody else.
Yeah, easily.
Well, I think
a lot of people are.
A lot of people, like, well, we all know where we came from, where we went to elementary, high school.
Streets.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oakwood Road.
basically. Out there on a ride out in the. What you know about Pulaski, but
but there, whenever I talk about the school that I went to, my coworkers just look at me and blink like, what, how, so it's only black people, and but you still know people that are engineers and doctors and lawyers.
Oh wow.
Yes. They can't even but it's, you'd be surprised that a lot of people think that way, like, how did that happen? But yet, and then don't even get into like, oh, but, and you're a vegetarian, what's wrong with you? You're not what we think of as black at all. You know, and they're like, I know you want some fried chicken. I don't, actually, but thanks for offering.
I don't, that's racist, but I don't.
I would prefer watermelon, thank you.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I was just like, I'm going to put myself out there and allow people to ask me whatever they want to ask. And I will put my feelings aside and not be offended because they don't know. So the only way for them to find out is, you know, for them to ask or to Google it.
Yeah, Googling is not safe.
No.
Because I've seen like Instagram, like screenshots of people like, if you, you know how you type in Google and it'll start guessing? And it'll say, like, you start typing in, like, why are all black guys, like, thugs? Or, like, those are... murderers. Yeah, it's, like, crazy stuff like that. So, don't Google.
Yeah.
It's better to talk to somebody. But I was going to say, like where we grew up and everything, it's easy to not know any white people or any other races for the most part. Or if you do know some of them, they're going to be... they're going to be similar, very, very similar to you, you know, in terms of background and everything. Like, because I grew up, like, on our street, when we were younger, we had a Hispanic friend, we had an Asian friend. We didn't know any white people at all. But it was us, a Hispanic guy, a Hispanic guy, Asian guy, and us, me and my brother, Anthony, who happens to be on this podcast as well. And, I got to know them or whatever, but they had a very similar background to us, so it wasn't like I was learning much. And then, like, the white people that I knew in high school... they were very similar to me. It wasn't until I got to college that I met, like, the white people, like, what you'll see on TV. And I was like, I thought y'all were just joking and doing that for TV. I didn't know y'all were really like that.
Yeah. It's really interesting. So to try to, you know, spark communication between races, not just black people and white people, you know, but with everybody, because we don't really know much about each other. This, you know, it's just like, I'm just going to make a fool of myself and let people ask me questions.
how did you get to that point? I mean, I don't really like people that much. sometimes I'll design a shirt with like, or I'll see a shirt that has like, makes a statement or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like I have one of those, I stand with Standing Rock shirts or whatever. But the problem is when I wear it, then people want to talk to me. And I'm like, I don't really want to talk to you. I don't know. So was that a problem with you? Was that, I'm just weird.
No, but yes. Because oddly enough, I am an introvert. But so it was kind of like I'm going to force myself out of my comfort zone because something needs to change. And if nobody's willing to do something about it, then somebody's going to have to, at some point, try to do something to make things change. And even if that means me talking to random people on the street, I'll do it. Even if I don't like talking to people that much.
Yeah. Well, that's good on you. Yeah, because I don't know. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to wear this shirt anymore. Cause I don't really want to. I was at a store and some lady read it. You know, she was waiting for me to explain it, and I didn't say anything.
No, but that's a good opportunity because it starts conversation, and though the conversation sucks sometimes, you can really open somebody's mind.
That's true.
Now, some people, just want to talk about it so they can get their point across. But some people don't. Some people really want to know what you think about it.
Yeah, I'll do better. So how did you put the concept together? I mean, was this the initial thing that you thought of doing, or did it start out somewhere else? Like, I'm just gonna write a blog about it, or like, how did it start?
It started with me asking my friend, the guy I was mentioning.
Oh, okay, yeah.
To do a podcast with me, but he didn't want to do it. So
he's like, I lost too many friends already. I'm good.
And it's just too much.
They're about to take my card. I don't know.
They don't invite me to the meetings anymore.
Right, exactly. He didn't want to do it. Also, our schedules. It's just, we're both introverts too, so neither of us are going to go out of our way to meet the other person. It's kind of bad. So you know, I was just like, well, whatever. What else can I do? And I was talking to another friend. He was like, you should do a YouTube channel. And it wasn't really about this. We were talking about something else. And I, you know, went back and forth about that. And then I was like, I will do a YouTube channel, and I'll do it about this, you know, race and politics and, you know, all that. So that's how it came
about. Okay.
I think that's good that you didn't do a podcast. Well, maybe it's not good, but I think it's good you went like to your strong suit, because you do video, so it's going to be easier for you to do it. But regarding the podcast, like, I don't know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and it seems like most of the black podcasts that I listen to, they're just talking about pop culture. Like, most of them don't talk about anything that's relevant. Like, next week when I listen to it, I'm like, well, that's old news. I already know Usher's out here burning people. So, like mostly if you're just talking about pop culture, then I don't need to hear that from four different black people. Just like, you know, well, I think in a lot of cases, well, this is probably a bigger thing, but in a lot of cases you'll see that black people get pigeonholed to talking about a certain type of thing. Like, you know, if you're, well, like a rapper said it, drugs, basketball, or rap. That's your options as a black person a lot of times. So when you go try and do something different, then it's like, whoa, aren't you supposed to be over there playing basketball?
Right, exactly, yeah. So I guess it was a good choice. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but
standing out on the corner and cold nights on the corner. No,
that's something totally different. But I was gonna say, I like what I like about it, because I did go watch all the videos.
Oh, thank you.
I like, because like I've seen similar things to this. I'm not gonna say like, oh, you're biting somebody's style, but like, this seems like something I would see like on BuzzFeed, but it would be one video, and it would probably be more for the jokes and more for the clickbait, and not for like actually digging into the issues, like the hair thing. I can give you a short answer, but I feel like the video you did, it's actually like two videos you did going into the details, it's more helpful than just doing a clickbaity BuzzFeed type thing where I laugh and I feel like, I know something about black people, and then I can move on, and I can, you know, go back to my day and just put that in my list of stereotypes and keep it moving.
Right. And that's really my goal, is because I can't literally spend that much time talking to everybody in the world, I try my best to dig in as much as possible in a short amount of time and, you know, kind of provide facts about why things are the way they are and why I feel the way I do, as opposed to just kind of staying on the surface and making it all about jokes.
Yeah. Or even just being like, hey, that's wrong. You
know, right.
I mean, because there is the argument people make. It's like, well, you know, you shouldn't have to go educate, you know, the world and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, I kind of think like there's a balance. Yeah, you don't, I don't know, you know, some people aren't worth convincing, probably.
No, they're not.
But they're not even going to ask. They'll be like, yeah, exactly. I know how your tap is. We don't take kind of your tap around here. Nothing against Southerners, but yeah.
Right. And darn, I forgot what I was going to say. But yeah, some, they won't ask, and they definitely won't click on the video. you know. And I try my best not to come across as I am speaking for all Black people on how we all feel about this.
Right.
And I try to encourage people to, you know, write how they feel in the comment section, because I can't speak for everybody, but the people watching do need to hear multiple perspectives on how we feel as a whole, as opposed to just my opinion about something.
Yeah.
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 That's something I sometimes struggle with, is because, I don't know. I mean, just because I didn't necessarily always, I can't always relate to the typical Black stereotypes, even some of the good ones. I can't relate, or just the experience people talking about, like cookouts and stuff. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. We had potlucks with haystacks.
Haystacks, yes.
There was no grill. I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, so I mean, it's kind of a weird thing sometimes, because I don't always feel connected with it. So I appreciate what you're saying. You're not trying to speak for everyone, because I mean, yeah. I think one of the main problems is people do see us as like one group of, large group of, you know, one, you know,
monolithic.
We go. Yeah, and we're not. I mean, everybody, you know, because I think a lot of our quest is just to be free to be who we want to be, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard someone say, like, the blessing of being white, I guess, is that you come as a blank slate. There's no expectations for you. Like, they might expect, like, you like mayonnaise or something, but there's no real other expectations that, like, negative or positive, per se. You're just like, hey, there's Kyle. Let's see what he wants. Whereas you, it's like, oh, we're having a cookout. He's playing basketball. He likes rap music. He knows where I can get some weed. Like, all that stuff is already automatically there.
Yeah.
And that may all be true, but
well, it's funny. We do it to ourselves too, because like when I moved up here, I live in DC, but when I moved up here, I kept getting asked for weed, and I was like, but I'm wearing like business casual clothes. Why are you asking me for weed? I don't have any. I'm not from here.
Cover.
I can't help you.
Good cover.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Nobody's asked me that here, but I don't leave the house often. in Atlanta. That was one thing I realized when I moved here, is just, I mean, you know, back in Alabama, I mean, it wasn't like just white people, you know. Well, of course we grew up in a bubble of Black people and everything, but it was interesting to move to a city where you're not necessarily a minority anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't feel like I'm walking around and people are thinking things, because, I don't know. It's just, especially where I live, everybody's from, there's like, I can get authentic food from like six different countries, like really close to my house, where they actually eat there. And it's like, I don't know. It's just an interesting thing, because you can live inside of one, you know, ecosystem, and you get another one, it's like, oh wait, this is how the world really is.
I now live in the opposite of what I experienced in Huntsville. Louisville is very, very segregated. Honestly, if I don't, depending on the church I go to, and if I don't see my family, I can go maybe a couple weeks without seeing anybody Black.
Wow.
It's weird. So I visited Atlanta a year or so ago, and I was almost in culture shock. Like, look at all the Black people. This is amazing. I didn't realize how drastically different it is here than it is there, until I went and I was like, whoa, this is, yes, I do know Black people. Yes.
They do exist.
Well, it definitely can be like, It's like subconscious brainwashing or something like that, because it's like, you know, I grew up in Huntsville, Alabama, and then I moved around the South a little bit, but then when I came, I moved here to DC, or actually, no, it was before I moved here. I came here for an internship, and I'm driving around, riding with my cousin, who happens to be Black. Some guy passes us in a Benz, and he's Black, and he's like not that much older than me. So my mind, of course, thinks, yep, he's a drug dealer for no reason.
Oh, that sucks.
But then it happened a couple more times, and I began to realize, wait a minute.
You're in D.C.
I'm in D.C. And there's black people here. And they have jobs. Yeah. And they can buy nice things.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was real weird.
He probably knew where you could get some weed, though. But
I did not bother asking because I was still confused. Like, how did he get a car? Like, he's not supposed to drive that car. He should be in a Caprice. Yeah.
the same thing happened here in Atlanta when I first moved here. It's just like, oh, wait, no, this is normal. Yeah. Like, people are just living their lives and, like, mm-hmm. prosper. I mean, I remember it wasn't the first time I've been to Atlanta, but I guess, I don't know, first time I was really driving around, like, a year or three ago. And I was driving through downtown, and it was like, there was, like, a crew of black people on bikes, like, riding behind me. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I have to move it, you know.
Like bicycles?
Yeah, like, no. Casually.
It was
like
not Meek Mill.
What?
Like, he's riding those dirt bikes.
Oh, yeah. No, I did see that once. But, no, it was just, like, regular, like, you know, like, they paid for these expensive, like, street road bikes and, like, in spandex and everything. They're just riding around, like, I was like, oh, you can be whoever you want here.
It's refreshing. Huh.
Yeah, and you don't realize that what kind of control that has on you. I mean, I didn't realize, the drastic change of just the way I carried myself since I lived here until I go back to Alabama and I realize that I don't have that same, I guess, almost apologetic way of carrying myself around. I mean, depending on who you're around, almost like, oh, well, don't mind me, you know. Sorry, just being black over here, you know.
Yeah, I didn't have that in Huntsville, but... I don't know.
I didn't realize it until living here, and I don't have that paranoia anymore.
Yeah.
And then I go back and I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not paranoid anymore. That's, yeah. I don't know. Because, you know, before it's just like this constant, for me, maybe I'm just in my head too much, but thinking somebody's looking at you like, oh, maybe you should, like, they don't think you should be there or something. You're like, you're always trying to constantly prove that you're...
That you're okay.
Yeah, that I can be here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I realized I didn't have that anymore. And I was like, huh, that's interesting.
Well,
with that in mind, I had an actual question. In your workplace, because, like, we in one of our previous episodes, we talked about, like, diversity in, like, creative fields and stuff like that. And how, like, I mean, you mentioned, like, you're the only black person in, like, your whole company. Do you run into many women in your department or in your field, in your area at all? Because, like, for instance, me, I've maybe worked with another woman maybe two times, and I've been doing what I do, graphic design, web design stuff, for 10 years now. And that's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that gets tricky. Off the record, at my job, we had a situation where I was a part of a marketing team. There were seven of us, and now there's just me. So, yes, I how do I answer your question? No, I don't run into any other women because it's just me. But when there was a team of us, yeah, there was another, the graphic designer was a female, and then she had, there was one other female, basically. The graphic designer was a female. Well, and the person over social media was a female, too.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I actually work...
But I have met several female graphic designers being here. I don't know if maybe this is just where all the female graphic designers come, but... Yeah.
I actually work with a black female graphic designer now.
Awesome.
I've never seen that's like a rare sighting, at least for me.
That is. She's a unicorn.
Yeah, it's weird. I was like, I can check this off the list before. Yeah, because otherwise I was, I didn't see any others. Yep. So with the branding of your YouTube channel and everything else, like, what went into, like, the creation of the name and all of that stuff? Like, what, did you have other names in mind, or what led you down that road, I guess?
I didn't have any other names in mind. I really can't remember how the name came about.
I feel like it's self-explanatory.
I honestly, It's just like people can ask me questions. I'm black. Let's say I'm a girl because ask a black woman sounds a little more aggressive.
Talk about that.
Ask a soul sister.
That's a different, right? That's a different episode.
Did you feel like you had to? No.
So as far as the name, it was just, I don't know, the name just kind of came. What was the other part of your question?
Well, I guess what I'm wondering is, like, where are you trying to go with it? Like, I mean, where do you, what's your vision for your channel? I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. My vision for the channel, I just hope it grows into something. I mean, I would love to be, I don't know, I wouldn't say a political commentator, maybe on like The Daily Show, but not like CNN. Oh. It's kind of strange. I have always liked Lisa Ling. Do you guys know who Lisa Ling is? She's a journalist. She has a show called Our America. I don't know. Anyway, I have always admired her in that she's just been brave enough to go anywhere and talk to anybody about anything. And while I love my YouTube channel, I really have a passion for documentaries. So I don't know. I hope this sparks something to where I can move into the documentary film world. I really don't know. As of right now, I just want the channel to grow to a place where people are really talking. More than just my circle of friends on Facebook. to where it reaches, you know, further than I thought it would. And I have gotten messages from people saying, you know, they met me on the street and then they shared it with another person, you know, that kind of thing, which is really the goal, just sort of a chain reaction that people are willing to actually talk.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I saw you were doing like t-shirts recently and other things like that. I mean, like, what is your strategy, I guess, for growing?
Strategy. About that.
Like, no, it's all right, okay, if you just make it up right now.
All right, I'm going to make it up right now. No, I do have a loose strategy. We had to take this HubSpot course at work, and I took a class through HubSpot on growth-driven design. And one of the things that I've really clung to is the idea of failing fast. And it was really about web design and how you should get a website up that is fully functional but not exactly perfect, and get it up quickly so that you can get the analytics back and figure out exactly what people want based on, you know, heat maps and all that stuff. Anyway, what I took from that in this that I'm doing with my YouTube channel is, okay, put it out there, see what works, see what's too long, what's too short, what people like, what people don't like, and grow from there. So I tried the t-shirt, like, do people want merchandise? Let's try it. Let's put it out there the cheapest, fastest way possible. See if people like it. If they do, go from there. If they don't, pull it, try something else. So my strategy is kind of just to try anything and fail fast, which may not be the best way to do it, but I feel like I get the most feedback that way. If you spend so much time making something perfect and then you put it out there and it's not what people want, then I just wasted so much time and money producing content that people don't even want. So my thing is, try to put out, as I get ideas, I just do it quickly. And I try not to think about it because I'm very good
at talking yourself out of it.
I'll talk myself out of it, or I'll overthink it and I'll be like, I should do this, but probably a year from now when this happens, you know. So that's my strategy, is just to try anything and see what people like and don't like, and then use that to build upon.
That's a good strategy.
I kind of have like a similar, basically, concept in my brain as to say, I'll jump off the cliff and learn how to fly on the way down.
Yeah. Kind of thing.
Because I'll do the same thing. I'll talk myself out of anything. You know, mm-hmm. I can talk myself out of getting out of bed in the morning or something like that. You know, right. So it's just like, just do it before you can even think too hard about it. So, that's a good concept. I mean, I like the idea of that, like putting it up there. I mean, mm-hmm. it's probably like a balance between, I think you met the balance because even though you're just putting stuff out there, you know, have the skill to make it look good. Like, it doesn't look like you just started, I guess.
Thank you. That's a huge compliment coming from graphic and web designers.
Oh, we're not that good. No, no, I mean, you know, because like a lot of people make YouTube videos. I mean, and they start in her back. I mean, like that girl, Francesca Ramsey, like she started in her.
Yeah, like, she did.
And you've already. Huh?
But look at her now, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, and you've already kind of skip some of those steps of starting in your bathroom because of you already know how to edit videos and all that kind of stuff. I was impressed. Like, oh, wow, all right. We got clips and sound bites and graphics. Okay. So, I mean, you have like a website and all that already set up and everything, or like?
I do. Well, it's a blog site. I decided to go to the blog before a website. I don't know. I felt like it was the best way to go for what I wanted to use it for. Maybe I will go over to a website. I don't know. But yeah, I do have a blog site. It's askablackgirl.org.
Okay. You have to check that out. I mean, I do like the idea of, I could see it naturally lending itself to teaching you how to be a journalist, I guess, basically to make documentaries and everything. Because you're talking to random people.
Yeah.
I mean, do you go out by yourself when you do that, or is it like?
I have been out once, and I said I wasn't doing that again. Oh. But I realized this is probably not the best thing because one day I will run into somebody who is for real racist, and it's not going to be a good situation.
What size plus, lynching rope kind of do you wear? Wait a minute, that's not a question I wanted to be asked.
Right. So I always go with usually my sister. Will come with me. It's kind of hard to fumble around with the camera and all that. Even though I just use a GoPro, it's still, I talk with my hands, and so that gets kind of weird trying to hold the GoPro in, you know, so.
Yeah.
She'll normally come with me.
See, I wonder where that, I mean, I'm wondering if that, I mean, do you think at some point it'll be like a thing where you can kind of sit down and interview people or something, or?
I don't know. I do like to go out that way because it's very impromptu and it catches people off guard. And sometimes because they're caught off guard, they just walk away. And other times because they're caught off guard, they're like, okay, sure, why not? But I don't know.
It seems like if you had it like come tomorrow at 3:00 to ask a black girl a question, that's too much time because then I'm going to think of question that I want answered the most and how I expect it to be answered, and it's just gonna be more fake.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
I do want to start incorporating some sit down interviews with people that I do know, like say my friend from work and you know, other black people to share, you know, their experiences. Just like, was it David you were saying? That you don't relate to some of those things, those stereotypes, you know. So I do want to try to incorporate some sit-down interviews, but I don't want to switch it all the way over. I think even from the viewer standpoint, they like kind of the spontaneity of this random person asked this question, and it wasn't planned.
Yeah. No, honestly, I remember like a couple of years ago, or they had that, what was it, something like people could walk up and touch black people's hair or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was a little weird, but
I had that happen. I think in the part one of that hair episode, randomly that day, every question I got was about my hair, and everybody wanted to touch it. And I was like, "This is strange, but I'm gonna let this happen for today."
You know, wear a hat next time or something. Right. No, everybody is always trying to touch my hair. It's kind of, I don't know. It's like, all right,
I'm not a puppy.
Yeah, it's like, I know it's amazing, but you know, well, That's interesting. David, did you have any other questions?
How much did Shea Butter, Shea Moisture pay you for the shout out?
Nothing.
Okay.
They paid absolutely.
Were you offended?
Were you
offended by their whole commercial thing that happened?
No.
Okay.
And I wrote a blog about that. I was kind of like, honestly, I saw one of their products in the store one day that was not in the black hair products aisle. Mm-hmm. Or so we don't have an aisle. We have an end of an aisle. Mm-hmm. And it was like the middle of the rest of the hair products. And I was like, somebody must have put that in the wrong place.
Like, excuse me, somebody
clean up an aisle for us.
Exactly. But I realized it is there every time I go on Target. I'm like, no, that's really right there. That's really where it's supposed to be. And honestly, I felt proud. I was like, finally, this black guy created this product and it's viewed and respected by the rest of the world mm-hmm. as a product that just belongs on the aisle and not on this little end cap. You know, this is for the black
colored section.
The colored section, right. I was honestly proud. Like, Shea Moisture, I appreciate that even there from a design standpoint, not that I have a problem with people that do this, but it doesn't have a person with the afro with a fist up. You know? it's just a clean design that can translate to anybody. And I feel like that is where Pantene and Garnier Fructis, that's where they dropped the ball. They did not include us. Mm-hmm. So why don't we, you know, be the bigger person and include them?
Yeah.
Now, as far as their ad, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like if they were going to use a black person, they should have used one that, how do you say this? No offense to the light-skinned people with curly hair. But
yeah, but they use a lot of barely blacks or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Like safe blacks.
I feel like if you wanted to represent for black women, you should have just added a black woman. And I do understand where a lot of black women come from, that this is a struggle we've had to deal with for so long to the point where we're protecting it now. And I get that. And it's like, this is our struggle. Yeah, you may have red hair and some people may call you a ginger, bless your heart. But people literally don't want us to wear our hair in its natural state at work. I have had that very experience at my job. So to kind of lump us all together and say, we all struggle. We do, but it's on a different level.
Yeah.
And I do feel like if Shea Moisture wants to market to everybody, they have to include everybody. And I feel like they did that. It probably wasn't the best way. I do feel like the dude lied by saying he never saw the ad before it went out. Sure you did. You're never going to let an ad go out without seeing it.
Yeah, that's what bothered me. I didn't care about the ad that much because, I mean, I use their products because my wife uses them. But and I don't feel like getting out the shower to find my stuff. But that's a different problem. But when I heard him say that, I was like, all right, now this is all BS from here on out. Because there's no way you didn't see that. You saw it, and you thought, you know, black Twitter was just going to let it slide.
Yeah, and they didn't, and now you have to pay the price, and you should have said, we just dropped the ball. Sorry.
Well, that's something I think because we had talked about this a little bit on another episode, but like my thing was like, don't say struggle.
Just
don't say that.
Yeah, you can't use that in reference to black
white people in it.
No, you can't.
Well, I mean, if you're going to say struggle, only put black people in it. Don't mix it up and say struggle, because then people are going to automatically, like, equate, you know. They're going to do the math and be like, no, that's not the same, you know.
That's not the same thing, yeah. Don't say
struggle means something to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a different level of struggle.
Life ain't been no crystal stair.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah, I had to pull that out of the archive.
Okay, so you also have like Instagram, you have a website. Have you found those to be useful in promoting your videos? And was it hard to get started? Aside from like the personal mental barriers, time barriers, stuff like that, was it hard to just get started?
let me just say, I am not very good on social media at all. In fact, I probably operate like a 70-year-old person when it comes to social media. I just barely use Facebook, barely. And I'm starting to try to use Instagram. My Instagram page is kind of a mess. I have random photos of, oh, I took a picture of this church and my dog, and now here's Ask a Black Girl. So I kind of have a mess going on when it comes to social media. It is my weak spot.
Well, if you're ever, if you ever move into offering products like waist trainers or fitness tea, Instagram is the spot for that.
Those darn waist trainers, yes.
Just put your logo on the waist trainer. I'm sure you'll get some sales.
Right. Twitter, I can't get with. I'm really horrible with social media. Facebook has been the easiest thing. There are things that I need to do better with that as well. So to answer your question, yes, I have found it very difficult.
Yeah, it's the same thing we deal with, because, I mean, I think some people that do better on Twitter and other, especially Twitter, yeah. If you're the type of person that can say whatever's at the top of your mind, you know?
Right.
Or you're used to doing that. I mean, me, I see something, I have a thought, it stays in my head. It's just like, oh, this is my opinion on that. Okay, all right. I don't have to, I don't feel the need to say anything, especially if other people are saying it. So I don't need to weigh in.
And then it's difficult because my main thing is videos. And, you know, it's got to be 15 seconds or whatever it is for Twitter and Instagram. And then, I don't know, people don't want to be redirected. If they're scrolling through their feed on Facebook, they don't want to click away to YouTube. Yeah. So it's easiest to just upload it straight to Facebook. But when I do that, the audience is just my friends on Facebook. Yeah. So I found that a real challenge.
I mean, are you doing like SEO stuff on YouTube, like the tags and all that kind of stuff? Or
no, well, I probably should be. Oh.
We'll talk then.
Yeah.
Well, because you know, it's like, next to Google, it's the most popular search engine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can do the tags, the description, all that kind of stuff. You know, it'll help. And then monetize them things. And
yeah. I was monetizing them, and I stopped. Because it changed my focus. I was so focused on, how come nobody's watching these videos? It's monetized. I'm never going to make any money. So I just decided to say, okay, I'm not going to monetize these just yet. I mean, 40 people are watching the video. You're not going to make anything, just yet. So if I focus on making good content for those 40 or 100 people that watch the video, then it will grow to the point of, okay, now it's good to monetize this.
Yeah. Now, I've heard a lot of people say that. It's like they'll make a song or they'll perform or they'll, you know, they'll have one person in mind.
Yeah.
They focus on that instead of trying to reach the whole, you know, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. These are the people that are watching, so make something really good for these people, and they'll share it, and then it'll grow from there. So I figure, you know, I can click the monetize button, but right now I don't know if it's even necessary.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, if you work on that, work on those tags and everything.
Yes, that would probably help. I really need to do that. I guess from a design sort of standpoint, I don't consider myself a designer at all. But I did try to put thought into what I did as far as like the colors that I use for the logo and for the blog site. Blue is my favorite color anyway, but I wanted to choose a color that wasn't aggressive, that made people feel happy. So not a dark shade of blue, but not baby blue either.
No blacks. And,
like everything is red, black, and green.
You.
Change the name to Ask a Black Girl That Matters.
Right. So I wanted to choose a shade of blue that was kind of calming, but also cheerful at the same time. And that's sort of the idea that I have with my YouTube page. I want to address these these topics that can be heavy, but in a lighter way, so that people don't feel so overwhelmed by it. I'm naturally drawn to black and white. So the blog site is mostly black and white with shades of blue in it. Just to add that element of, first of all, we're talking about race. And when people think about race, although there are so many other races, people only think about black and white. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of also where I got the idea of black and white for the blog site. And then the blue, to calm people down a little bit so they don't feel like, oh, this is a...
It's not confrontational. Race.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if that even comes across or if people even feel that way when they visit the blog or, you know, but that was the kind of thought that I put into it. And with the logo, I kind of played with different things, but I wanted something simple, but got the point across that I'm a female, but I didn't want to have an afro on there, you know, because my hair does change often. And I wanted people to just see that, yes, this is Ask a Black Girl, but at the end of the day, I'm just a female, you know, I don't know. So that's kind of, the thought that I put into
that kind of ties back into like what you were saying about the Shea Moisture thing, which I've noticed that about them as well. It's like a lot of companies that are successful that kind of cross over, if to use that term, they don't make themselves so blatantly ethnic,
right?
Which I mean, I don't think it's necessary to do that anymore, but well, I have an example. So I'm working on a logo for a company now, and I think the company has something to do with health, but they felt the need to put the word black in the name of the company, which didn't make sense to me because it had nothing to do with the services the company provides or anything. So I emailed...
Black health.
Well, I don't want to say the company's name because they might happen to...
But it's close to that.
Yeah, but it's close to that. But
I'm not laughing.
No, it's funny. I emailed him. I was like, "You're pigeonholing yourself by focusing you know, like the black car wash or the black... This is a black movie or whatever, things like that. Those things you're limiting yourself on purpose, and it doesn't make sense. Like, as a black person, I don't feel like I need to see the colors green, black, and red. I don't need to see someone with an afro. I don't need to see Tyler Perry to know that this movie is appealing to me. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Well, if I see Tyler Perry, I know it doesn't appeal to me.
Well, exactly. If I see Madea, probably not watching it.
Probably not watching
it. Like, if you've seen one or two of those, well, if you've seen one of those movies, you probably can figure out the plot of the other ones.
Basically.
Yeah. That's an interesting, a balance that you have to find, because some people look at it as like, no, we need to be aggressive as black people and, like, you know, throw it in their face, but... I kind of fall on the other side of like, or they'll look at like you not throwing, pushing it as you like trying to sell out or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
I kind of look at it as like, you just want to be who you are. Like, you're not walking around like angry all the time. I mean, that's not, you know,
and I mean,
who wants to walk around like that?
Right. Shea Moisture, it's already based on shea butter. How much more black do you...
Exactly.
A lot of people just think are too familiar with shea butter outside of, you know, Shea Moisture. So, yeah, I feel like
what they did was good, because it's not so white that I'm like, that is clearly not for me, and it's not so black that a white person should say that is clearly not for me.
Yeah, exactly. And in that one episode, that white guy said he uses Shea Moisture products.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't...
I was kind of surprised.
Me too. But I don't know that, you know, they're going to use As I Am or what's something
else. Afro Sheen.
You know what I mean? They might, if it works for them, but they're going to grab something that just... feels a little like less aggressively black.
Yeah.
You can be black without being so aggressive about it. I don't know. And I did feel some kind of way about calling my YouTube channel Ask a Black Girl, but I'm like, that's what I am at the end of the day, you know, and I want people to feel comfortable with the fact that that's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, it sounds, it's, yeah, I don't know. Provocative is a strong word, but I don't know. I mean,
not where I was going with that.
No, it says something, but it doesn't come off aggressive because it's asking a black girl. It's not like, you know, listen to a black girl.
No, that's definitely, we definitely don't need to listen to black girls, much less women.
Terrible.
But yeah, I agree. It's like, you're saying ask me something, but if your logo was more aggressive or something like that, then it would create, you know, a different perception.
Yeah,
the black girl with a fist at the end.
Yeah. As long as you don't have, like, brown fist ask emojis, you're good.
Like, ask me something I don't like. Try it.
Funny. Yeah,
like, I mean, it encourages a conversation, which I think is ultimately
the goal.
That's more productive than just, you know, listen to, you know, you're terrible and you're oppressing me. You know, it's
I'm black and proud. Let's talk.
Yeah, it's like, whoa.
I'm good.
I mean, I don't want to talk to somebody like
that. No.
I'm black. Like, I'm proud too, but.
Right, yeah.
Why are you forcing that on me right now?
Respect my agency. I have one more question. I don't know how much time we have, but how long did it take, or how long did you spend in, I guess, what we could call the valley of decision between when you had the idea to start and when you actually started, and how did you get past that?
Let me think. It probably took me 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. That's amazing.
Yeah, honestly, it took me about 2 weeks. I decided what I was going to do. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start on this day. My goal was actually to release the first video Friday, the January 21st or whatever. Inauguration Day. Oh. That was my goal. And I had come up with the idea like 2 weeks prior to that. So yeah, I didn't get to release it that day. It was the Sunday after that Friday. So just a couple days later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it took me about 2 weeks. I don't tell my boss. I printed out that sign at work and was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to start, tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
When you printed it out, you had to run and get it off the printer really quick before someone else walked up and saw it. Like, no, that was Amy that printed that. All right, whatever. We know it was you.
Right. Yeah, so that's what I did. I was just like, if I think about this too long, I'm probably not going to do it.
Well, I think that's the biggest gem or thing I'm going to remember from this is like that whole fail quickly and just go do it, because I've had a few ideas. Like, me and Anthony, we talked about starting this podcast, I don't know, a long time before we actually started it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't like we made excuses. It's just we talked about it and didn't do it. Or I was like, well, how are we going to do this? He's in Atlanta. I'm in D.C. Okay, that's a good enough reason not to do anything. I'm going to go scroll on Instagram. And next thing I know is a year later, and I'm like, all right, stop tripping. And we started emailing each other, like, order this mic off of Amazon. We're going to start recording next Sunday. Be there or be square.
Yeah. That little course I took really changed my mindset on that whole growth-driven design idea. Just put work out there that you're not embarrassed about. Yeah. That you know is decent quality. It may not be the best, but what's the point of wasting all that time making it the best if that's not what people want anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have no idea what, you kind of don't have a clear concept of what the best is if you have no experience doing this yet.
Exactly. Because I think one of the first videos or second videos, I don't remember. One of them was too long. And the only way for me to know that is to just put it out there and see. Maybe it wouldn't be too long for some people. You know what I mean? You just have to put stuff out there, see what people like and don't like, and then grow based on that. Otherwise, if you're like me, you'll never do it.
Yeah, I mean, because I think a lot of times we feel like we have to be perfect before we can present ourselves to the world when it's like, man, there's people out here prospering and they ain't,
they're mediocre.
Nowhere near, no, they ain't nowhere near perfect. So.
Exactly. Now, don't get me wrong. I have anxiety every time I upload a new video. Like, oh my gosh, this is not the way I want it to be. And yeah. Then I'm just like, shut up.
Just get
press
it out
make there. Public.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's what it has to be. You just got to put yourself out there. I mean,
there's plenty of people who are big who are recording off their little iMac camera, whatever it is on your MacBook Pro. And I'm like, I have way better cameras than that.
Right.
And so I have no reason to be shy about it. But I don't know. I think, yeah. You know, it's that, I don't know what the best term for it is, but it's just like you get an analysis paralysis or whatever you want to call it.
Yes,
and then next
thing
you know, you haven't done anything. And that person that you were watching, they've grown and improved exponentially. Because I'm sure every time you do a video, you learn something and you're like, well, next time it's not going to be as bad.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, Sophia, thanks for talking to us. Where can we find you on the internet? Do you have waist trainers for sale? And,
I have Ask a Black Girl Waist Trainer. Ask a Black Girl Waist
Ask a Black Girl Teeth Whitening.
You can follow me on YouTube or subscribe to my page, my YouTube channel at Ask a Black BLK Girl. Sorry, black was taken. It's stupid. You can also subscribe to my blog at askablackgirl.org. So the normal black, askablackgirl.org. Instagram, askablkgirl. And Twitter, just don't follow me on Twitter.
Thanks for the warning.
Twitter is askablkgirl.
Right.
Ask a Black Girl 1989.
Right. Don't even waste your time on Twitter. But yeah, that's how you can find me. Do I need to say that again?
No, I wasn't. Right.
It was fine. You can edit that.
We'll leave it in.
It's fine with me. I don't know.
Well, thanks for joining us. Hopefully, whoever listens, all 10 or 11 people listen, hopefully you learn something and remember to just get out there and do whatever you're trying to do. Chase your dreams, even if it's just a YouTube channel or like a business or a waist trainer. Don't spend too much time thinking about it. Go get it done. And with, like I was going to say earlier, with the way technology is now, there's no reason for you... There's very few reasons for you to not go do what you want to do. Like, starting a YouTube channel is not that hard. Just sign up. And you already have a Gmail account, so just click YouTube and upload. Like, starting a podcast, starting a website, all that stuff is, none of it's hard anymore. So your biggest obstacle is probably between your shoulders and up a little bit.
Yep.
What's that quote from RuPaul, your fear of looking stupid is holding you back?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he said anything important.
Yeah,
nothing against him. No. I've just never heard a quote of him.
That was
of his.
Yeah, no, that's a quote from him. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can find us on the internet at Alien Muffin everywhere. No shade. But thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.